Well, if you would, please open your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John, we'll look at chapter 11. John chapter 11. We'll be reading from verses 17 to 27, as well as 38 to 44, and this will be done in conjunction with the catechism, which we have confessed this evening. John 11, verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Mary said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And then skipping down to verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. So far the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearts. Well, congregation of Christ, earlier this summer, I had the privilege of celebrating Memorial Day in Unionville, New York, a small little town dotting the Appalachian Trail there, you know, a village maybe 500 people, very small. But it was a great time, you know, and it was a great privilege to be able to remember those who died in defense of our nation. The whole town was painted red, white, and blue there, and you know, the whole town is marching through Main Street. It's still one of these old little towns. And you had the Little League kids marching through Main Street. You had the American Legion marching through Main Street. You had just about everybody was marching through Main Street. The middle school band, the high school band was playing Hail to the Chief. Everybody marching through Main Street. And you know where we ended up? Everyone ended up in the cemetery. It's a strange thing to see the living in the place of the dead, but that's where we were. The whole village there, young and old, decorating the graves. Well, that's where we find Christ this evening. We find Christ entering the graveyard, and we find that not even death can stop Christ's resurrection life, can it? And how does that comfort the Christian? Well, the answer ought to be obvious. We'll look at this first by seeing how Lazarus was not beyond the reach of Christ. That's point one. And then point two, we'll look at the teaching of the resurrection in general as it's summed up there in question 37 of the Catechism. And then finally, we will look at the life everlasting as it's summed up in question 58 there. So beginning with the scripture, we look at Lazarus. And the story of Lazarus really is a tremendous story, isn't it? John moves through the narrative so slowly, I didn't have us read the whole story because it's very long. He emphasizes all these little details, and that helps to emphasize just the gravity of the situation. It's like slow motion in a movie, what's going on there. The scene is just dripping with emotions, and it drips from the page. And when Christ and the disciples hear that Lazarus was sick, you know, we can't help but think that Jesus is just going to ride in and save the day like he always does. Jesus says, this illness is not unto death, it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You know, we've seen this movie a million times now, haven't we? Guy gets sick, Jesus shows up, heals him. This time it's Jesus' own friend. This is a no-brainer. And yet, all our expectations, right out the window, right out the window. It says that instead, Lazarus died while Jesus was nowhere to be found. Jesus and the disciples are on the march then to the funeral of Lazarus, and Thomas says it's likely going to be their funeral as well, if the Jewish leaders have anything to say about it. And we find ourselves just scratching our heads. You know, what in the world is going on here? Why let your friend die and then risk your life to go to the funeral, see the body, when you had every opportunity to save his life? And we find ourselves questioning the wisdom of the Lord as readers. And when you question the wisdom of the Lord, you and I had better question our questions, shouldn't we? He knows best. We read that Jesus showed up to the graveside 4 days late and that the body would have stunk by this point after sitting in that heat. And we can't help but relating to Martha there. We can't help but feel her pain as we hear her say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And who among us hasn't prayed that prayer for somebody? And instead of getting better, they don't get better, they get worse. Who hasn't prayed that prayer and seen the Lord not heal their loved one? Martha knows something of that pain. But notice what Martha says next in verse 22. Even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. You can imagine her emotional state at this moment, can't you? Many of her friends had come to console her. Mary, her sister, was still sitting in the house, presumably sobbing at this point. Had Martha been crying all morning, only to hear that Jesus was there, what would have been running through her head at this moment? We know that she wondered why Jesus hadn't come sooner. But now that Jesus was there, she gets up and goes to meet him. We have to wonder, why go meet the man who's showing up late instead of just letting him come to the house while you're sitting Shiva? You know, she's sitting there mourning. Why doesn't he just come to the house? Did Martha perhaps think that Jesus, even now, could raise her brother from the dead? And, you know, sure, in other Gospels we read that Jesus had raised men from the dead before, but 4 days after the fact? The Jews thought the spirit kind of floated around the body for maybe a day or two. It was superstition. It wasn't true. But this was kind of the superstition in the air. 4 days. No, that's unheard of. You know, by this point, he might as well have been a mummy in their book. Those earlier miracles were somewhat understandable in their superstition, but 4 days. No, this is a big ask. This is impossible. This is like a Super Bowl-size miracle that's being asked for. A real miracle. And whether this is what Martha is looking for or not, we don't know for sure. But Jesus replies to her that Lazarus will rise. And Martha agrees, but she doesn't really seem content with just believing that Lazarus will be raised in the last day. She comes to Jesus and she wants more. Jesus replies, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And with these words, we have Jesus claiming by that I am statement to be divine. And we have Martha confessing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He has power over the grave. And meanwhile, her brother's flesh is rotting in the tomb. Is this just going to prove to be the pious sounding words of church people? Jesus arrives at the tomb and we hear that it says, Jesus wept. Well-known verse. Christ isn't apathetic to the suffering. He's not sitting off in the stars somewhere, untroubled by our troubles. No, He is a caring God. He is a high priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness. He knows what it is to lose a friend. And yet the question on the minds of the mourners is so often our question, isn't it? Could not He who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Is He unable? Is this too hard for Jesus? You know, clearly He loved Lazarus, didn't He? He's weeping. Was death too much for Jesus to overcome? Jesus tells him, roll the stone away. And Martha, moments ago, she was a pillar of the faith. Now she's hunched over in unbelief. She's saying, no, don't do that, Lord. He's going to stink at this point. Don't forget I even said anything. It was a silly suggestion. I shouldn't have even bothered you. What a picture of the Christian. One moment where confessing Christ in church, and then Monday morning hits, and it's back to the hospital, and we're hanging by a thread, and we're shaken like a leaf. But even for a doubting Martha, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always. And He says to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? At His word, the protest stopped. At His word, the grave was opened. At His word, Lazarus came walking out, still dressed like a mummy in the grave clothes. At His word, every doubt done away with. At His word, Lazarus comes walking out. Lazarus couldn't resist that word. Neither could Martha. The grave can't resist the word of Christ. No one can resist the word of Christ. Lazarus wasn't sitting in the grave, twiddling his thumbs, thinking, oh, should I, you know, work up the courage to come out of the grave? Should I make up my mind to do it today? Will today be the day that I finally listen to the word? No, he came out as soon as the word was spoken. It was irresistible grace that saved Lazarus from the grave. He didn't have to massage his will into line. This was life and death. That's how the Bible talks about the new birth. That's a picture of every single Christian who's ever lived. Paul says that we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but that God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, the new resurrected life. And Jesus calls us again tonight. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Look to Him alone for your hope and your comfort over the grave. He is our resurrection. There's so much going on in this story that it's easy to miss something really important. And I'd like to focus on what Martha said there in verse 24. This confession she makes. I know that he, that is Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection of the dead. You know, it's remarkable just how kind of passé that confession is. It's kind of, you know, off the cuff. Of course he's going to rise again in the last day. You know, everybody knows that. In other words, no body is beyond the reach of Christ. No body is not going to be resurrected. Some will be resurrected to eternal life, thank the Lord. But others will be resurrected to eternal death and punishment. Does everybody know that today? Certainly not outside the church, they don't. And how does that resurrection to eternal life comfort the Christian in life and in death? Well, first, let's start with the obvious. Jesus has the power to raise real dead people. Lazarus is not a fairy tale. He was flesh and blood, and he really died. Jesus literally raised him from the dead. Jesus doesn't simply have fairy tale power. He has literal power, boys and girls. You and I have literal problems in this life? Good. You have a literal comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's obvious from the Bible, isn't it? But we can forget how important that is. You know, I used to work construction, and I can remember talking with one of my coworkers one day. And we were talking, of course, about, hey, when's our next day off? You know, as guys will often talk about. And the next day off happened to be Good Friday. And he says, I have no idea. What is Good Friday even about? He's kind of ignorant of the Christian tradition. And I said, oh, Good Friday is, you know, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He went into the grave, and then Easter morning, we remember that he was resurrected from the dead. And he looked at me like I had two heads, and he said, wait, like, you mean from the dead dead? I thought, yeah. You know, he graduated New York Public Schools. I don't think he'd ever heard this before. And, you know, we can become so accustomed to talking about the resurrection of Christ that we forget how amazing that is. When you go to the graveside, you can remember that one day everybody is going to be raised in the resurrection. That is an amazing thing. And we need to remember that Christ has literal resurrection power. The Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, Jesus is the proof of the general resurrection. He's the start of the harvest. He's the ultimate Pentecost. Paul says that without the resurrection, you and I, Christians, are fools. We're wasting our time. We should go home. We should eat, drink, and be merry. We're the most pitiable people on the planet. But there is a resurrection. And therefore, the Apostle Paul was willing to be scourged, whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, persecuted all over this world and ultimately executed because he believed that there is a resurrection from the dead. And we can be certain of that because Christ was raised from the dead. In Lazarus, you and I have a sneak peek of that general resurrection, but it's very different, actually, from our resurrection. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but you know what happened? He still had to die. Again, Jesus was raised from the dead never to die again. Jesus is the first fruits of our resurrection, not Lazarus. A Christian will never die spiritually speaking because we've already died to the old man. The old man has been left in the grave. We've been raised with Christ. We are new creatures in him. And though we will die physically one day, we can be certain that just as sure as Christ has been raised and we are in Christ, so too will our bodies be resurrected one day. Instead of being resurrected into a perishable body like Lazarus, we're going to be resurrected into a glorified body like Christ's glorified body because his resurrection is our resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. There will be no more aches and pains, no more dementia, no more Alzheimer's, no more broken bones, no more memory loss, no more weakness, no more tears, no more tiredness, no more forgetfulness in that world, the new world to come. Christians are going to be in the prime of life for all eternity. And as we see our bodies age, as we see death, we need to remember that little verse. Jesus wept. He wept over the death of Lazarus' body, not his soul, because his soul never died. God cares about us, body and soul. The Bible is so clear on this. God cares about what we do in the body. He created us with bodies, and he said that, what? They are good. After our fall into sin in the garden, our bodies began to show signs of decay because of sin, and it's tragic. But this ought to be grabbing our attention as creatures and pointing us back to God. Our physical bodies and their struggles are like a check engine light on our dashboard saying, hey, something isn't right here. Jesus came with a body to redeem us, body and soul. And though we have to wait for our body to be raised, our catechism says that at death, not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ, it said, but also my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. The catechism highlights that immediately our soul goes to God, even as our bodies wait in the grave. There's life beyond the material world, life beyond what science can put in a test tube. You know that, boys and girls? There's life beyond what you can fit in a test tube. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, what did he say? Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say 1,000 years from now, not 3,000 years from now. He said to a wretched sinner, today you will be with me in paradise. A guy 2 seconds ago mocking him on the cross next door, today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful message. The gospel can conquer a whole life of sin in but a moment. Immediately you will be with me in paradise. No need to go burn off some sin or corruption in a waiting room. No need for the superstition of purgatory. That's nowhere in God's Word. No, the Bible says that as soon as you die, your soul will either go to be with the Lord or with the devil. No room for a waiting room. No room for soul sleep. No room for reincarnation. No room for second chances. This is it. The Bible says it is appointed once for man to die and then the judgment. No amount of redos would even help. Even if we pretended for a second that reincarnation were true, you and I would just be heaping up bad karma every single day because we sin every single day. We increase our debt every single day. We all, body and soul, deserve nothing but hellfire and damnation. We do not want karma. Our righteousness is but filthy rags in His sight, the Bible says. No, you and I don't need karma. What you and I need is grace. We need the grace of Jesus Christ that says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Praise the Lord. We need this grace. This is why Jesus had to die on the cross. He wasn't simply a good teacher. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And He calls us again tonight, Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. But as we were saying, you know, there is an already not yet aspect. There's a tension in the Christian's resurrection. Even though we die physically, spiritually, we've already died to the old man and been raised to new life in Christ. Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus calls us to believe on him alone for eternal life, starting now with that life. Listen to how the Catechism talks about this life everlasting. Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life, I will have perfect blessedness such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. What a wonderful confession. We get just a small taste of that joy and comfort in this life. And then when we get to heaven, we get the whole thing. Though physically we die like Lazarus, spiritually, we never die. Christ resurrected Lazarus to show and confirm to us that his words aren't just nice-sounding, sentimental things you put on a greeting card. They have real-world power. He's the resurrection and the life. His word is not just a get-well card and flowers. As wonderful as that is when you're in the hospital, it's a great encouragement to get them. But you know what his word is like? It's like that greeting card. It's like flowers, balloons, people showing up, saying how much they like you, how much they care about you, how much they're thinking about you. And it's also like having the best doctor in the world in your corner. His words have the power of life and death. That ought to comfort us in life and in death. Well, the story ends, and John goes on. He talks about how the reaction was kind of strange. You know, you'd think everybody would be, you know, joyous, declaring Christ as the Lord God, the resurrection and the life. But no, we see some believed, but many of the Jews tried to kill Jesus. They were extremely angry. And so he spends time explaining that. But I wonder, you know, it's interesting. John has so many details. I wonder what Lazarus had to say when they loosed him from the grave clothes. I wonder, you know, did he just start dancing? Was he singing? I can only imagine what he did. And what do you think Mary and Martha did when they got their brother back from the grave? You know, I don't think those two women who had been crying for a few days now were very stoic, do you? No, I don't think so. You know, what a scene this must have been. The joy that they must have been experiencing as they saw their brother come walking right out of the tomb to them. I'd imagine there'd be a few tears shed, tears of joy. I'd imagine there'd be some laughter there. That's a little picture of the joy that you and I get to experience as Christians. Our resurrection to new spiritual life is no less real than Lazarus walking out of the tomb. We've been saved from hell by the word of Christ. Scripture says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over just one sinner who repents. And we get to experience just a taste, a foretaste of that joy now, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, brothers and sisters. But the joy that you and I feel now, as humans, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, isn't it? If we're really being honest with ourselves, I think so. That's just human nature. It's not that God's love is fickle. It's simply that you and I waver, like Martha. But one day that's all going to change, Scripture tells us. One day there will be no more wavering. There will be no more Monday morning. We're going to wake up and it's going to be the eternal Sabbath. It's going to be the day when Jesus Christ wipes every tear from our eyes. And everything will be made right for all eternity. The joy we feel now is nothing compared to the joy that we're going to experience in heaven. We can't express it. The Christian will have perfect blessedness beyond what the senses or the mind can even comprehend now, beyond what you or I can imagine. Our souls will finally be done struggling against sin. Our bodies will be made perfect, and we will see the Lamb of God seated on the throne. We will see Jesus Christ face to face. Now that is comfort for us, body and soul, in life and in death. But you know, when I look around this world, I see a graveyard, don't you? Monday morning's coming, and you're going right back out to that graveyard. I see a world that's depressed and dejected. I see a world in which suicide is rampant, in which drug overdoses are becoming more and more common, in which shootings are happening more and more, in which wars and rumors of wars are continuing to grow. Natural disaster, drugs, all the sexual confusion going on right now. And it's a graveyard out there. People are trying to numb the pain of sin and death with anything they can think of. And what they're doing, they got that check engine light going on, blinking. They think, oh, if I use these drugs, oh, if I get a facelift, if I get a new spouse, maybe I can put out that check engine light. You know what they're doing? Blinking. Quick, get me the duct tape. Put the duct tape right over the blinking light. And they're headed for a crash. They're headed for certain death. It's coming for them. Sooner or later, that engine is going to blow. Without Christ, they are headed for a resurrection, but not a resurrection unto life. They're headed for the resurrection of eternal, everlasting hellfire and torment, says the word of Christ. They're going to a place where the flame will not flicker, the worm will never die, in the words of Christ. They're headed to the graveyard. This world needs to hear the word of Christ this evening. Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We look at the world. We go out of this place into the graveyard this week. Take that word of Christ. You say, they've been in the grave for so long, I can't imagine that they would ever believe. Lazarus was 4 days in the tomb. He didn't have to work his will up in order to come out. No, it was a miracle of the word of Christ. By the Spirit of Christ, he resurrected Lazarus. You look at the world, you look at your neighbors, you look at your loved ones who are so far from Christ. They've been in the tomb 4 days. At this point, they've begun to stink. There is one hope in this world, and it is not how smart you are. It's not how palatable you make the gospel. It is the word of Christ. Speak that word of forgiveness. Speak that word of grace to them. Take the gospel out there into the graveyard of this world this week. May Christ go with us to do that. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for his resurrection and life, Lord, that his resurrection is our life as he lives in our hearts by faith alone, because of grace alone on the cross. And so, Lord, we put our hope and trust in him. Lord, give us courage as we go about doing your work this week. May you give us courage to speak the gospel word to Lazarus. May he come forth from the grave and praise your name forever, Lord. May we speak to the dry bones, Father, by your Spirit. May you grant the resurrection, Lord. We know that we are inadequate to do it, but that by your Spirit, you grant life. So would you grant life to the state of New Jersey, we pray. And Lord, would you bless our offerings to that end? We pray for the general fund. We also pray for Word and Deed Ministries. Lord, may you take the offering and bless it to this end. Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come. Amen.